And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Richard Battle joining us now, as he does every Wednesday. And Richard, congratulations. You've got a couple of awards you should let our audience know about.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that very much, and it's great to be with you. And Navigating Life's Journey received a couple of awards from Reader's Views for independently published books in the self-help and humanities category.
That
and
was awesome.
By that.
Awesome. No, congratulations. That is just fantastic. So, and by the way, great book. Those of you that don't have it, get it. It's on Amazon. It's easy. Navigating Life's Journeys. Let's talk about what's going on down at the South Border, Richard.
Well, I think it's a crisis today and a catastrophe tomorrow. And it's amazing to me certain things that I don't see in the media at all. And I think the Democrats are trying to hide this issue. They're using the issue in Atlanta, the unfortunate tragedy in Boulder yesterday, to try to take the heat off of this issue, because it is going very hot in Washington right now.
I agree.
And the big difference this year from years before, and I didn't really even recognize this until I started getting interview requests all over the country, because it used to be illegal immigration was pretty much a border issue for Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. And when we cried help, the rest of the country didn't care. But because President Obama distributed illegal immigrants all over the country some years ago, mm-hmm. now people recognize that this is a national problem.
Right.
And they cannot just raise or print money like the federal government. They have to raise real taxpayer money mm-hmm. to pay for health care, education, housing, food, and all the other
True.
Needs of these people who can't provide for themselves.
And by the way, some of that, as Richard just said a moment ago, under Obama, is now happening under President Biden, where they're literally putting some of these folks on planes and distributing them across the country, some to the upper Midwest, some up north, some literally all over, Richard. And I've heard from several guests that we've had on, talking about that. And by the way, some of what I just talked about is not highly publicized in the news media as well, because it affects everyone and they don't want to talk about that, Richard.
Well, that's absolutely true. When I looked at New York Times website and CNN, nothing about the border issue. But what gives me heart is when I see Representative Henry Cuellar from Laredo and the mayor of Del Rio, both Democrats, starting to scream to Washington that, hey, we can't afford this. We need help. You need to stop this now. And that's what's going to make any positive change. It's going to take Democrats all across the country to stand up and say, we cannot afford to pay for these people. Help us.
Richard, one of the things that we hear from, of course, the press and even from the Biden administration is, these folks that are coming across, in fact, I've said many times on my program that even what we consider a child under the age of 18, if you look at some of those folks coming across the border, they may be under the age of 18, but they're far from a child. Who is really coming across?
Well, that's a great question. And there's a lot of so-called children are that in the 13 to 17-year-old age group. In two examples, they had scores of buses take those age kids to Midland, Texas last week, and they opened up and are putting 3,000 of them in the Dallas Convention Center and housing them there. And one of the concerns I have this go around comparatively also is temporary housing for these people is going to become permanent housing,
right,
paid for by taxpayers at some point, because in Austin, Texas, in cities on the West Coast, you already have governments buying hotels and paying for hotel rooms to put homeless people in mm-hmm. in permanent housing. And so taxpayers are going to foot the bill, and that's the only thing they want U.S. citizens for, is to pick up the tab for these people.
No, you're correct. That's exactly what it boils down to. Now, one of the things, and I talked about this, last week at length, and we'll do it again because it's going to be, to your point, this is going to continue to be a problem, I'm afraid, unless it gets resolved, which I just don't see that happening anytime soon. And there is a difference between, legal and illegal immigration. And, Richard, I'm fine with legal immigration. In fact, I think it needs a revamp. I think it needs to be based on a merit system. Let me know what you're bringing to our country, and I will let you know whether or not you can enter. That's how I see it. I don't think that's being harsh. I think you, as an immigrant, need to bring something to the table. Otherwise, stay where you're at. Now, that may sound really, you know, cold and heartless and even unchristian like Richard, but I don't think it is. I really feel like if you're going to come to this country, you need to assimilate and bring something to the table. You can't just come here and suck off of my tax dollars.
You're absolutely correct. And the media and the administration go out of their way to confuse people because they want to make it just about immigration. They do not want to differentiate legal and illegal immigration. And I go out of my way to talk to naturalized citizens. I've done it on the border and I've done it all across the country. And every one of them have had the same view you and I do, which is people ought to come to the country legally,
right,
not illegally, because they did that. And it took them years and a lot of dollars to do it the legal way. And that's all they want other people to do as well.
Yeah, in a way, Richard, and I've talked about this before, but I, you know, it's a great reminder even to our listeners that for every illegal immigrant we allow to come in and end up with some sort of amnesty or to just live off of our system, you're literally stamping, you know, I should say stomping on that citizenship of one of those individuals you just mentioned that came here legally, you know, the countless hours, time, sacrifice, legal things they jumped through in a lot of cases. I know some of these individuals like you're talking about. And the reality is we're literally stomping on them every time we let an illegal immigrant come in.
Well, that's absolutely true, because why should they do that if they can just walk across the border and pay a coyote to help
right.
them do that?
Right.
That's the incentive. And this is not a racial issue.
No, not at all.
I was married to a lady from Laredo, Texas for 20 years. The Hispanic people are wonderful. They're hardworking, God-fearing, honest people. This is a legal and illegal issue.
That's right. No, and for those listening, and most people may not know this, but I have family members that are Hispanic. And so, yeah, Richard, I fully agree with you, and I don't see it that way. I don't see it as a race issue whatsoever. This is a legal versus illegal issue. By the way, I would be saying the same thing, Richard, if people were immigrating here from you know, illegally, I should say, from Sweden, Canada, South Africa, Australia. I don't really care where they're coming from, Richard. The same would apply to any of them. It doesn't matter that these folks maybe have a little bit browner skin because they're coming from South America. The reality is they're coming here illegally, and that's the whole point.
Well, that's exactly true, and they have a category of statistics they call OTM, which is other than Mexican, and the media and administration want to make everybody think it's only about Mexicans or Hispanics, and there are Iranians, Asians. There's been four people on the terror watch list they caught in the last week. There's all kinds of people from all over the world coming in. And the statistics are only the people that we intercept. There's untold
right.
numbers
right.
that we don't.
That's right.
And we God only knows who they are.
Well, and you know, the last thing I want to talk about, and I mentioned this last week to our listeners, but I want to keep mentioning this, and that is right now our current administration, by doing what they're doing south of the border, or on the border even, all they're doing, Richard, is strengthening the cartels that are south of the border that, let's face it, have a lot of control inside of Mexico and other South American countries. We are not dismantling them by what we're doing right now. We are reinforcing them.
Absolutely. I saw a statistic in the last couple of days that they were making $14 million a day by bringing people across the border. And not only are they going to be strong south of the border, but if this continues, they're going to continue to increase their strength north of the border,
right.
and we will have issues in border towns from Texas all the way to California if this continues.
No, you are spot on, exactly right. I do know, in you as well, you know, Joe, last week, President Joe Biden said, hey, quit coming. We've got to get some, basically what he said was, quit coming until we get some things figured out on our end. Now, to me, that wasn't much of a, you know, please stop coming announcement. It was really more of a, you know, just slow things down until we can get things figured out on our end. Sort of what, you know, Obama told Putin back in the day, kind of a, you know, or the Russian guy, you know, kind of the same thing back in that same sort of a mantra, if you would, Richard, where it's not really don't come. It's just come once we get a few things figured out. That's not the message he should be sending.
Well, you're correct. He said, don't come, wink, wink.
Right.
If he wants that to stick, we need to return every person we intercept, whether we catch them when they come across the border or if we catch them once they've been here a week or two, we need to return them. And then that will send the message to people that if they come, they're going to be sent back home, and they're only wasting the money they're right. paying the coyotes.
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, give us a great story out of navigating life's journey.
Well, the one that I'd share today that's so applicable was a chapter I wrote about Back to the Future deja vu and talking about actions we take today in the future, impact of those. And if you remember in the movie, they went back from 1985 to 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And Marty McFly got his parent and Goldie Wilson each to make one subtle little change in their life. But then the effect 30 years later was humongous.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot go back right now, but we can do something today to change the future, not only on immigration, but on our personal lives. And that's the way I think we need to look at everything so that we can have our best lives, but we also need Washington to make that change today so that a year from now we're not swamped, and 30 years from now, God only knows what damage it'll do to our country if they don't stop this now.
Well, and to reiterate what you're saying, honestly, they are playing the long game, looking at the future, and I believe, Richard, trying to do every single thing possible to destroy that future that we know as America, because frankly, they hate it and would love nothing more than to see it go away.
Absolutely. I believe it's purposeful. And as I tell people, Stevie Wonder can see what's going on
yes.
right now.
Yes.
And so the only reason they're not doing anything is because it's
right.
their objectives.
That's right. Richard, it's always a joy having you, sir. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so
You're
much.
You're very welcome.
God bless America.
Congratulations, too. Good stuff on the awards. Richard Battle again. Always great. I enjoy talking to him. Read his book, Navigating Life's Journey. There's a lot of great stories in that, uplifting stories, I should say. Roof Max is next. Dave Hart, which, by the way, Dave has got a product that is new to our area, but it's not new literally across the country. There's lots of other Roof Max dealers across the country. It's just new to Colorado. We've not seen this before, and the reality is probably should have started here. We have a situation here with our elevation and our air and the fact of our UV rays coming in, you know, due to the things I just mentioned a moment ago. We have got more wear and tear on an average roof than probably a lot of other places in the country do. And given that, Roof Max can help rejuvenate your roof. Dave will come out, give you a free roof inspection, tell you what you need, what's it going to take to get your roof up to speed. And I would say get that done before hail season starts. Why do I say that? Because his product can actually help strengthen your roof to help you when a hailstorm may hit. I'm not saying it will, but may hit. And folks, don't let anybody out there tell you that turning in a claim and having your roof replaced is going to be a cheap endeavor. Unless you've paid a lot of extra money on your policy to have a very low deductible, review your policy. I was just looking at mine yesterday. And in most cases today, your policy will have a separate listing for your roof and how that works and what the deductible is, unless you've done something different with your agent on the front side. So have Dave come out, give you a free inspection. And by the way, he can review your policy with you as well and tell you what your actual insurance is. So anyway, if it's enough, 303-710-6916. That's Dave Hart at Roof Max.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
All right, folks, get your free mortgage review. Yes, free, as in call. Kurt will go through it with you, tell you what he can or can't do, and he does that for nothing, nada, zero. Just give him a call, 720-895-0500, and have him explain what he can do to actually save you money, tap into some of that equity. And if you're looking to do some other things as far as second homes and stuff goes, he can help you with that as well. 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
From KLZ 560, I'm Richard Beatty with traffic. The procession for Officer Eric Talley, who was shot and killed at the King Supers on Monday, started at 3 o'clock and is moving past Boulder to eastbound Highway 36 to southbound I-25 and then to I-70 to southbound I-225 and finally to Parker Road here in Aurora. Roads will be briefly closed as the hearse is escorted by police. This is Richard Beatty reporting. KLZ 560, your home station.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hearts, thoughts, and prayers go out to not only his officer's family, but all of the families that have been affected by what happened on Monday. And for those of you driving, what Richard just said, please be aware of that and note that there may be a few things closed here. And now what I will say for those of you that are driving, as much as that can seem like an inconvenience while we're driving, just remember the inconvenience now that will be among his family and those other families that have been affected by what happened on Monday. And, you know, just take a breath. Don't worry about it. Take a breath. Slow down a little bit. Enjoy the scenery. Sun's out right now. Kind of a beautiful evening now here in the Denver area. And let that procession go by if you're there. And if possible, stop, honor him any way you see fit. But please don't get mad, excited, honk your horn, and be that way, given what's gone on this week here in the Denver-Boulder area. So, Richard, thank you for doing that as well. I do appreciate that and hope you're listening to me. One thing I want to talk about, maybe I can get into this a little bit, but I find this very ironic that yesterday, today, and tomorrow at Howard University, it's the Clinton Global Initiative University with, how do I say her name, Kamala or Kamala? Charlie, I can never get it right. Kamala, I don't know how you do it. Mrs. Harris, the Vice President of the United States of America. She and Bill Clinton, believe it or not, are actually doing, this is a virtual thing they're having, but even still, her and Bill are talking about empowering women. Now, I shouldn't have to remind anyone, maybe some of the young people that are listening, but for those of us that are my age or even older, shouldn't have to remind too many people that I can't think of anybody less qualified to talk about empowering women than Slick Willie himself. And I mean that sincerely. To me, having Bill Clinton talk about empowering women any way, shape, or form is a slap in the face of every woman he's going to try to empower. Again, coming from, in my opinion, one of the biggest perverts on the planet, and yes, I said that, and yes, he is, how in the world you can have that guy speaking on that subject is beyond me. And if you're a Democrat, somebody that's from the left, and you think that's okay to have him doing so, more power to you. you're part of the problem. I mean that sincerely. Bill Clinton has no business whatsoever talking on that subject at all, knowing his past. And by the way, here's what I would also tell a lot of you that are on that side of the fence. If Bill had come out and had some sort of an apology tour where he had actually, you know, gone around and asked forgiveness of the women that he, you know, did some of the things that he did to back in the day, and he'd gone on this, you know, this tour of really being sorrowful for what had happened in the past and asking forgiveness and doing some of those things that he had done back in the day, you know what? I'd probably have a different outlook on it today. But to my knowledge, unless somebody can text me or call me and tell me that Bill went around and did that and I somehow missed it, which, by the way, it never happened because he didn't, he has no business doing this. I'm all for forgiveness. I'm all for letting people put their past behind them and trying to turn over a new leaf and do things differently. But I've never seen that from Bill Clinton. In fact, I'll go as far to say, because I don't think I'm wrong, there was a gentleman, because he's no longer alive, Jeffrey Epstein, who was alive, who I believe had a lot of dirt on folks like Bill Clinton and those like him, that ended up dead in a jail cell, supposedly committing suicide, which we all know wasn't true. Lots of things surrounding that just disappeared. You know, guards weren't there when they were supposed to be. Video footage is gone. Somehow he ends up dead in his cell magically when he had the tell-all on everybody that the guy knew. Folks, come on. I wasn't born. You know, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. And by the way, Bill Clinton was in the center of all of that. Don't kid yourself. He was. So again, I ask all of my lefty friends, how could you endorse and put a, you know, any kind of positive spin on a guy by the name of Bill Clinton, Slick Willie, giving a lecture on empowering women, unless he's doing it apologetically for the things he's done in the past, which, again, I guarantee you is not happening. How you guys on the left can give folks like Bill a pass and then yet attack folks like Jack Phillips, which I'll talk about in a moment, and go after some of the people that you do, Kavanaugh and others, you're a bunch of hypocrites, literally. All of you on the left are just that, hypocrites, through and through. You talk out of both sides of your mouth. And Kamala Harris is no different. And just keep in mind, she will the one probably most likely be running the country in the not-too-distant future. I hope I'm wrong in saying that, but I don't think I am. All right, we'll take a break. Lines are open, by the way. I don't have any guests the rest of this hour, so if you want to call in and chat, feel free to do so. Talk about Bill, talk about Jack Phillips, or I've also got a topic on ghost guns I want to get to as well. So all those topics, I'll be right back, 303-477-5600. Pure 4 Chevrolet, remember, shop online, pure4chevrolet.com.
Corey, my blushing bride, where is the best car buying experience you've ever had?
Hands down, Purifoy. And I'm not just saying that because I do not enjoy buying cars. But when we had to buy one, they made it so easy. The financing especially was smooth as silk.
Why?
Well, you walked in and it's true. They were just so friendly. I didn't feel like I was targeted. I needed a car. I didn't want to get a car. And they understood that. They took the time to let me really test drive what we chose. And then they explained and answered every single question that I had.
Folks, there you have it. And by the way, Corey's telling the truth. I like looking at rows of cars and doing all that. I get into it. She hates it. And she actually enjoyed herself at Purifoy. You will too. For a better experience, go to purifoychevrolet.com or give Purifoy a call at 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, folks, wealth, money, finances, yes, it's all a part of what we do on a daily basis, like it or not. It's what sustains us, keeps us going, and allows us to have a roof over our head. And you want that even through retirement, especially through retirement, I should say. Al can help you with all of that, keep your finances sharp, and keep you moving ahead. Find him at klzradio.com on our website or call directly 303-744-1128.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern, making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist Al Smith has worked in financial services for over three decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Again, lines are open, 303-477-5600. Feel free to call in. I'm going to talk about Jack Phillips being sued again, which this is a story that I had to talk about yesterday, and then with the events of Monday night, we did some other things yesterday, obviously, and for good reason, not apologizing for that. But it was a story I wanted to talk about, which I think now is not going to get some of the press that it deserves because of what happened Monday. And that's a simple fact that Colorado Baker Jack Phillips is being sued again, allegedly, for LGBTQ bias, which, again, is about as far as it gets because we all know Jack's story. But, again, he is being sued again by a lawyer this time, Autumn Scardina. He attempted to order a birthday cake on the same day in 2017 that the high court announced it would hear Jack's appeal in the wedding cake case. Scardina, an attorney, requested a cake that was blue on the outside, pink on the inside, in honor of her gender transition. And by the way, Autumn, you're a scumbag. And you did that on purpose. For no other reason, to see what you could get Jack to get caught in. And by the way, you admitted that, so you are a scumbag, and I'm saying that properly. Why in the world you the guys on your side don't just leave him alone is beyond me. You won't let it lie. And those of you on the left should be ashamed of yourselves. It's already been proven time and time again, by the way, all the way up to the Supreme Court, that Jack did nothing wrong. And yet, we still have scumbag attorneys like Autumn Scardina doing to Jack what she's doing. And yes, I said that correctly. She's a scumbag. Bill in Boulder, you're next.
Hey, good evening, John. Hey, I wanted to talk real quick about three points about immigration. What was his name? The fellow who wrote the book that you have on every week. He's fantastic.
Richard Battle. He is a good guy. I really love Richard. I'm getting to know him better and better each week. He's just a great guy.
Real down to earth, yeah. And, you know, I feel for those folks in the border states because they are just absolutely
fed
up with it.
Yes, they are, Bill. You're correct.
So three things real quick. A lot of folks think that it's America that is so difficult to immigrate to. And a number of years ago, I was dating a girl who lived up in Calgary.
Okay.
And I was mad about her. And I was cracking my head trying to get up there and get a work visa or anything. And I'm college educated. I've got a good background, no debts, anything like that. And it wasn't happening. And this is like in 2011, I think. So, you know, the economy was still recovering from 2008 here. Their economy was clicking right along, and you basically couldn't talk to them unless you had an offer in hand from an employer up there. Outside of that, it was very, very difficult.
No, Bill, you're correct. Some of you know my story. I have a daughter that had married a Canadian, and he passed away from cancer several years ago. But I can tell you firsthand, Bill, what a challenge it even was for my daughter. Moving up there and all the things that she had to go through to get a green card and so on. And yeah, to your point, not an easy thing to do at all. And there, these are people, you know, yourself included, that are bringing something to the table, not just going up there to, you know, really mooch off the system that they do not want to let in.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I wanted to be, I wanted to contribute. I wasn't just moving up there to be a girl. I wanted to be, become part of the society and be a contributing citizen. And, the second point I wanted to make, too, is I think that this is probably, a lot of people are saying, and I don't disagree with this, that they want to bring in these illegals just to bolster the DNC's voting rolls. And I'm sure that's true. But part of me also thinks that they're doing this because they want to just create more problems that on the surface only government has a solution to, just to justify increasing the size of government, especially at the federal level.
And Bill, real quick, I want to dovetail on that. Add one more thing to what you just said, because what Richard and I were talking about earlier, I think applies to what you just said as well. On top of that, I do feel like they don't really care, despite what they will tell all of us. They don't care how strong the economy is. In fact, I will tell you that I believe wholeheartedly they want the economy to be bad. They want people living off the system. It gives them far more control over the individuals of the United States of America when they have that type of power. And doing what they're doing right now, Bill, with illegal immigration just contributes to what we're talking about.
Plain and simple, right? I mean, it's job security for them up at the end. And, you know, when we talk about people that have been 4 and 5 decades of service, you know, on both sides of the aisle. And that's a cushy job. They're not quick to want to give that up. So if they can create the problems that keep them seated, you know. And then the last thing I want to touch on real quick, John, is something that I'm watching a lot about. The lawmakers are talking about this right now. You know, the Republicans are just, you know, they're on fire about this. But one point nobody is bringing up is, I don't know how much money we spent on the border wall in the Trump administration. And in my mind, it's a good thing, borders, language, culture. But so, and then when they ordered the halt of all of that construction, and I saw aerial footage, you know, helicopter footage of the border wall just a couple weeks ago, you could see the construction materials lying on the ground.
Right.
So we spent all this money to actually build hundreds of miles of fence, and now we're not going to finish it. So all of that money that we spent, it's completely wasted. That is such an irresponsible use of the taxpayers' money. I mean, we spent that money. It's already been spent, and it's completely worthless. So if we just spent a little bit more money and a little bit more time and completed the project, then it would be an investment instead of an expenditure.
It would be nice to see what that actual dollar figure is. There's estimates that, you know, what was set aside to actually work on the wall and get some things done was around $3 billion, and I realize that's, you know, those are big contracts. That's a lot of money. But I think, Bill, in retrospect, when we start now talking about, $4 to $5 trillion we've spent, you know, through this COVID thing, by the way, sending a lot of billions, by the way, around the world, $3 billion to basically strengthen our southern border. To me, Bill, I'd spend 10 times that if we had to as a taxpayer.
Well, absolutely. But, I stand by the point that, you know, that By failing to complete it, we took what could have been an investment in our national security into just another needless expenditure. You know, like the natural gas station in the middle of Afghanistan that nobody's ever going to use.
Right.
We spent hundreds of millions
of dollars
to build it. You know, and I think it's incumbent upon our elected officials to really get upset about this stuff, because it's, you know, this is the most important thing to their constituents. I think is their paychecks and their the money that they are being bilked out of to fund these programs that they as our elected officials don't seem to really get too excited about. And that's very irresponsible.
Well, you know, and here's the deal, because there's been lots of articles written about, you know, how quickly some of the contracts were awarded and should we have done a longer process. I mean, in Trump's defense, he was trying to get that thing built as quickly as he could, because I think he knew he had a certain time limit in doing so. But, you know, as a new administration, Bill, you could have come in and said, wait a minute, time out. You know, we're going to slow things down a little bit. We're still going to complete the wall. We're going to do things a little differently, put some things out for competitive bid, find out exactly how we could maybe, you know, save some money moving forward. But to your point, Bill, to just stop and let materials even lie, and I know how the government works, those things will lie there now until another administration comes in and decides what to do with those. And by that time, who knows if they'll even be of any use at that point in time. So literally, we just take what's there and leave it as a wasteland, which, to your point, is just totally, totally irresponsible.
Absolutely. I mean, just when I saw that, I think it was Dan Crenshaw. He was flying with the Department of Public Service in their helicopter just to survey. They were actually looking up to see the people coming across the border, but they were flying around one of these areas, and you could see the fence material lying on the ground right in front of the gap. All that needed to be done was to erect that. So, you know, you probably had a week's worth of work to actually finish that section.
Bill, furthermore, as any administration would go, I don't know why you would want to be, other than some of the things that we're talking about here, why you wouldn't want for the strength of your country to have good border security. To me, it's inexcusable to not want that. As any politician, I don't care what side of the aisle you stand on, And I think it's almost it's criminal behavior on the part of those politicians, including the current White House administration, to allow what's going on in the southern border to happen, period.
Absolutely. And if you look at, like, all the, you know, I'll behave myself and not call it what it actually was, but a lot of the security initiatives at the airports and so forth in the names of keeping terrorists out of our country, here we've got, that's a perfect place for them to come through, you know, right. And Richard pointed that out. It's like, we're not really concerned so much about these people that are just coming up here to find jobs, you know, in Central and South America. It's a conduit for, you know, all types of folks all around the world to come in and do all, you know.
Yeah, the figure he gave was the cartels are making $14 million a day getting people into this country illegally, Bill. That's a huge number.
I saw that story last week. Yeah, it's insane, the coyotes and all these people. And yeah, I mean, and so, and where does that money go, right? That goes back to the cartels.
Oh, yeah, it goes back in the cartels so they can just, you know, go make more, you know, go produce more drugs, smuggle more across the country, have a bigger impact upon our country after the fact. So Bill, this is just a spiraling mess that literally has no end. And again, I go back to what I said a moment ago. It's criminal behavior on the part of the current administration to be allowing what's going on to even happen whatsoever. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you don't agree with my statement, as far as I'm concerned, you're not a true American.
No, absolutely. You know, and real quick on the drug thing too, you know, if you don't have drugs infiltrating, you know, the city streets, and you don't have drugs to try to go out and find, then you can't justify asking for more funding to fund those anti-drug units within the police department and so forth, and all of these crazy, you know, military vehicles that they have and all of that stuff.
And, yeah, you know, I noticed that, and I don't want to try to bring up anything that would, you know, get me in trouble for what happened on Monday, but as I was watching the video footage of what happened Monday, and I looked at one of the SWAT vehicles that the Boulder PD has, and I look at it like, you know, that's basically a military vehicle, and I am of the impression, and always will be, and I will stand by this, there's not a police force one out there anywhere that needs any type of military vehicle, period. And even what happened on Monday, they could have done that with normal, you know, the normal type of vehicles they have. They did not need that vehicle there to accomplish what they did. And I am 1,000% against any type of police force in any city or county having those type of vehicles whatsoever. And I'll stand by that.
No, 100%. And real quick, I don't know the exact program, but I know that there was a program, and this is a result of our empire building in Iraq and Afghanistan, where all of that surplus military equipment that was coming back, they were selling that. There was a federal mandate, and I'll have to look this up, where they were trying to get that military equipment into local police departments so that they could have these SWAT vehicles, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, folks, real quick, and Bill, to reiterate what you're saying, and this is everybody listening, and I know there's some folks out there that might disagree with me, and if you do, give me a call, 303-477-5600. But, Bill, it should be a concern to every citizen of the United States of America when we have local municipalities and their police forces becoming militarized. That is not in the Constitution. It's not the way things are supposed to work ever. And it's inexcusable that we're allowing these things to happen. I know there's some really good people that work in those police forces, and they love some of that equipment that's coming in. But I will tell you right now, for me as a citizen, that's a problem.
Absolutely. I mean, we've gotten a long way from Andy Taylor and Barney Fife. And, you know, it's up here in Boulder, it's practically Mayberry most of the time anyhow. So what is it? Why did they need MRAPs and all of this this military hardware? It just doesn't make any sense.
No, sure doesn't.
Sure sense, you know, if you're trying to more effectively police and do the community policing, that sends a long message.
It does. I agree, Bill. No, yeah. I looked at that on tape, you know, the video the other night, watching that, and you know, even with everything going on, you know, the first thing that I thought of was, you know, that is the last thing the Boulder PD needs. And I'm sorry if somebody wants to call in and argue with me on that one. I would love to chat, but that's not what we need in our police force. That is for, in my opinion, military use only. And when it's done, you know, you auction that stuff off to the highest bidder around the world, sell it to an ally, and call it good. Not going back in our own police forces.
Yep, there you go. I agree 100%.
Bill,
hey, good show as always, John.
Always, I appreciate it, sir. Really, really do. I appreciate you calling in and reiterating a lot of what he said. He's spot on. Bruce Simmons is next, folks. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. And wants to help you. If you're sitting on a pile of equity and you've got no access to it, you can access that with a reverse mortgage. It's simple. Give him a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-467-7821.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him.
Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
Hey, folks, it's never fun when you have an accident in your vehicle. Something happens. Even door dings can be an annoyance to a lot of us, you know, myself included. At a good shop, they can take care of the smallest of dents or a major, major collision. You name it, they can fix it and get you back to OE specifications. That's original equipment specifications. Don't forget about their mobile estimating app that they now have that you can download, and you can do that right from their website. Find that by going to klzradio.com. Three locations to serve you up north, 720-541-7697.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
From KLZ 560, I'm Richard Petey with traffic and weather. Starting out from DIA, Peña Boulevard, a crash north at Tower Road. This is northbound Peña Boulevard, stop and go. Now southbound Broadway at Englewood Parkway. There's a wreck blocking all southbound lanes of Broadway. Englewood police have set up a local detour there. I-25 south at Spear, an accident. That's exit 212. Northbound Wadsworth Boulevard at West Yale, there's a crash there. There's a new crash at I-25 South, and that's right at I-70, the artist formerly known as the Mousetrap, and a disabled vehicle, Parker Road North at Quincy. Skyview weather for Denver and the Front Range. Snow should end in the next hour or two. Cold and windy for the overnight low of 24. We are hanging in the 30s right now. Tomorrow and the rest of the week look to be low to mid-50s for much of the Front Range. That's traffic and weather. I'm Richard Beatty, KLZ 560, your home station.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. This hour just flying by. And I want to talk for a few minutes about ghost guns. And we'll talk to Franktown Firearms this Friday. They're going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour and just really talk about what's going on, how to get trained, how to be prepared for things that even just happened here recently in Boulder, and you know, how to make yourself as prepared as possible. But right now there is a lot of talk. In fact, 18 attorney generals are calling on the attorney general to close a ghost gun loophole. So first of all, some of you may be asking, what is a ghost gun? And there's a lot of, I would say, misinformation when it comes to ghost guns. And folks will even say there's a ghost gun loophole. First of all, there is no loophole. Don't let them tell you that, because that's not true. a ghost gun, as the press and some would say, is a AR-15 or the like, which there's different calibers of, but it's an AR-15, what they call it, as a lower. So it's a lower assembly. This is the assembly whereby the trigger mechanism, it's where the magazine would fit into at the bottom. It's what the barrel attaches to, and so on. It is the, let's call it, the heart of the gun. And in the case of an AR-15, which, by the way, is what's making such a cool gun, and despite what all the lefties will tell you, the reason why a lot of folks love owning that gun is because of all of the things that you can do with it, whether you're using it for target practice, you know, you're a sharpshooter and you enjoy doing those sorts of things, whether you've got it for home protection, whether you use it to hunt, which there's a lot of folks out there that will say that's not a hunting rifle. Well, again, depending upon what you're hunting, they're completely wrong. What makes the AR-15 so neat is there's so many different things you can do with it. It's one of the most accessorized, quote-unquote, guns in the marketplace because there's so many different things you can do for it. The furniture, they call it, which are, you know, the stock and the grip and the forearm and things like that. There's a lot of different things you can do with that particular gun to make it yours, make it fit you, make it do what you want it to do. And for all of us law-abiding gun owners, it's not to go kill other individuals unless somebody's trying to come after you. Keep in mind, folks, despite what the left may tell you, and I saw lots of posts along these lines after these last couple of days where folks have a misunderstanding of what the Second Amendment is. The Second Amendment isn't there for me to protect myself from you. The Second Amendment exists so I can protect myself against a tyrannical government. So let's not forget that when we start talking about all these things. But anyways, let's go back to ghost guns. So there are companies out there that will sell you a AR-15 heart, the guts, the lower, if you would, that is about 80% complete. If they don't complete it to 100%, they don't, according to the current law, they don't have to put a serial number on it, and you don't have to have a background check to buy that lower. You have to have the lower then finished, typically by yourself or somebody that you know that would help you do so. Now, that's where it gets a little dicey, because technically, once it's finished, it's now a fully functioning firearm. You have to put a barrel and do the other things with it. And for those of you that are really getting technical and getting after me for being too simplistic, I'm just trying to be simplistic for most people listening. Once the gun is assembled, it then does fall underneath everything else that every other gun falls under. In other words, if you've committed a felony and you buy an unfinished lower and you put it all together and you now own that weapon, you've committed a crime. You're not allowed to own that gun in that condition. You can own a unfinished lower. Why? Because it's just that. There's nothing that can be done with that particular lower to shoot anything. It will not fire a bullet at all, period. It's not finished. It's not completed. And what a lot of these attorney generals now want to have done is they want to change the rules, change the law, if you would, to now say that that 80% complete lower should be run through the normal channels any other gun that's sold would, i.e. background checks and so on. What I find interesting is there's a quote coming out of The Hill that says, ghost guns refer to kits that can be easily purchased and be assembled into firearms. Well, first of all, easily is a key word there. No, not really easily. That's not necessarily the case. You have to have some skill to do that. They can be sold without background checks. That is true. And are untraceable because they have no serial number. Now, keep in mind, the average gun sold is also untraceable because we have no gun registry in this country. There are certain cities that require you to register a gun, but by and large, there is no gun registry. Now, they're traceable in that if they know who you bought the gun from, they can go back in and find that particular dealer, if you would, and find out who they sold it to. But beyond that, that gun is not traceable, not at all. So don't let the press or those out there tell you that our current way of doing it allows you to trace guns, because the reality is they're not. So this goes on to say, simply put, this loophole allows unserialized ghost guns to be bought and sold without oversight. Folks, please, quickly, let me tell you that any of you can go buy a gun on any given street corner, any given day, anywhere in America, and make it happen, and that's not traceable either. So again, these are individuals that have no idea what goes on in the real world that are trying to pass laws to fix something that they can't. And by the way, they're all doing this on the aftermath of what happened Monday, which, by the way, in my opinion, is a shame to those individuals that lost their lives Monday. They're spitting on their graves, actually, as far as I'm concerned. Franktown Firearms, speaking of firearms, is next. And by the way, they can explain everything I just said in a much more thorough manner than I can. We'll talk more about this on Friday when they join us. In the meantime, if you want to buy a gun, it's about a 3-day wait right now in buying one, but I would get it done sooner than later if I were you. KLZradio.com or 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thank you for joining us. Hour number two is about done. We'll be back. Hour three is next. Gerald Calente is going to join us, and he is publisher of the Trends Journal. We're going to talk a little bit about an economic boom potentially coming once COVID kind of, you know, goes away and we get back to quote-unquote normal. And then I also have the founder of Greenpeace joining us again, Dr. Patrick Moore. He'll be with us at the 5:30 mark as well. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Everyone is talking about.
You saw God and then brought a dead bird back to life.
No, I didn't. God did.
Sir, do you think you can help me walk again? Could you say a prayer for me?
The girl who believes in miracles.
It's not possible.
I thought he was never supposed to walk again.
He wasn't.
It was Sarah.
Sometimes a little faith is all you need to change the world.
Mom, it really was God.
The girl who believes in miracles. From Mustard Seed Production. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. In theaters Easter weekend.
Honoring God and country, this is KLZ 560 AM, KLZ FM 100.7, KLZ HD Denver.
This is News, Politics, and Commentary with Bob Duco.
As you know, the Democrats in Congress continue to push their effort to weaken the Second Amendment, to try to bring on more and more gun laws, additional gun restrictions on Americans. And they'll talk about rhetoric from